Hello, Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Thomas, host of the Philosophy Show at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. Today is July the 21st, Thursday morning, Wednesday night, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2016. AD, right? Today's episode is titled Back and Forth, Forth and Back, Into the Trance. Are you feeling sleepy yet? That's a subtitle. Are you feeling sleepy yet? But the main title is Back and Forth, Forth and Back, Into the Trance. And kind of like, you know, when you might have seen, you know, the classic clock going back and forth that's hanging from a string when the therapist is trying to hypnotize someone back and forth, and then all of a sudden someone's put in a trance, right? Now that's a physical, kinetic, hanging off a string back and forth. At least that's what our mind makes of it, right? Now, principally, there can be other things that are back and forth. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard by now, since this is the information age, that television, when people watch it, or I guess nowadays the internet or movies, has different visualizations that are meant in different frequencies and that are meant to put people in a trance. And it makes them more easily susceptible to advertising, whether that advertising be for products or for political policies via the news or any other social agenda message that someone's paying for to present. And sometimes the participants that are sharing that message might not even know, but maybe the people at the top of the pyramid know. And we can kind of do it to ourselves as well. And some people, I mean, you know, there's music like trance music, there's binaural beats. I don't know if you heard those. That'd be something to look up. But there's sound therapy, in other words. And sometimes people, you know, purposely put themselves in a trance. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of trance music and stuff like that. So, and people, you know, can try to self-hypnotize. So we're not necessarily blaming the tools. You know, I guess it's how you use it that's good or bad. I mean, some people train and hypnotize themselves to stop smoking and things like that. So, I mean, you know, you can read whatever you want into it. Matey, I'm not saying it's good or bad. But what I am saying is that it is something to think about and to be aware of. I mean, and if you're aware of someone trying to hypnotize you, like the hypnotist, they can't hypnotize you, you know. So that's the sneaky thing. And even when someone's watching television or a movie, maybe you're not in that full hypnotic state, but, you know, you're easily suggestible. And so maybe at some subconscious level, and some people can be at that deep state. I mean, have you ever seen people with drool coming out of their mouth while they're watching TV? I mean, if it's not that, it's pretty close. So back and forth, forth and back, into the trance. And what other things are back and forth? I mean, does something have to actually be going back and forth, or does some kind of vibrational frequency wave, whether it's sound or some kind of screen flickering that only your subconscious can notice, is that the only kind of back and forth? Or it could be back and forth of arguing. When you are watching a political debate, you know, you only hear a Republican and a Democrat, and they argue back and forth and back and forth. He said this, she said that, he said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said, right said Fred. So, I mean, could that cause a hypnotic state? I mean, think about when you argue, when you've gotten an argument where it's gone to the point where you're no longer really thinking, and, you know, you've built up, you know, you can see many debates and arguments, like on YouTube, and, you know, I love debates. I mean, debates have been going on for thousands of years, you know, and even in our American history, you know, the Lincoln-Douglas debates. I mean, debates are supposed to be one person talks, they stop, they let the other person talk, they stop, and back and forth. And usually, there needs to be a moderator. I mean, because if there didn't need to be a moderator, then there probably wouldn't need to be a debate in the first place as far as politics goes, maybe in science, but then we wouldn't need government, because that's the government is the moderator, right? I mean, if people could just go back and forth, and some people can, for sure. So, but think about it, when you argue back and forth, like in an argument, like maybe that you might have with a friend, even in a relationship, or if you're having a debate online or in a call-in show or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of civilized people out there. I'm not trying to paint any wide brushes here, but I just want you, I mean, recall the last time, like, you've lost your cool. I mean, and what I literally mean that, like, you lost it, you no longer had control, you're on autopilot. Now, you have to train your autopilot, so next time, you know, that's the interesting thing about determinism. I mean, we do determine ourselves as long as we are in control, and some would argue that everything is controlled by the subconscious, so we're actually not in control. But the counter argument to that would be, then, even if that's true, then what you have to do is train yourself so your automated actions are your own. So in an indirect way, you are directly controlling everything. But back to the main topic here about getting in an argument where you lose it. I mean, because I would argue, in a trance at that point somewhat, if you've lost it to the point where you're just repeating talking points, where one won't even listen to any reason or be able to consider they're wrong. Now it's more about saving face than it is about, you know, the argument itself. It's more about the person than the actual topic, the item, because the topic, it shouldn't matter who's arguing it. I mean, just like in a courtroom, I mean, you know, it's a prosecutor's job to argue one case, and it's the defender's job to argue the other side of the story and not get personally involved in that item, even though it might affect you directly. I mean, that would be the objective way to do it, just like it's be objective for a reporter to report the news objectively. You know, or at least disclose if they have a conflict of interest. And you know, so when you watch a show like Crossfire or something where two people are arguing back and forth, you go back and forth and back, you know, it kind of escalates slowly. You know, at first maybe they're going one at a time, and then all of a sudden someone crossed the line, and then it's just back and forth and back and forth. And before you know it, they're both in some kind of trance where they're not themselves anymore. They're somewhat possessed with anger. and that was a back and forth that caused it somewhat. I don't know. Anyways, interesting stuff. Maybe you get what I'm talking about. If you don't, feel free to give us a call. There is a guest call-in number, and we got about a half an hour. I mean, this is a half an hour show. We got about 20 more minutes. The guest call-in number, if you ever want to call into the show or if you have a show idea, is area code 646-929-1344. Now, I do have a, let me repeat that again. That's area code 646-929-1344. That's the guest call-in show. Now, I do have a YouTube channel as well. It's called youtube.com/blastoffreshair. Check it out. And, you know, I have some videos I've uploaded of interviews I've done with political candidates in the year 2012, and I hope to do it again this year. I've got to start it soon if I am. And these are independent and third-party candidates who are on the ballots. They're not people that have to be written in or nothing like that. So, mostly for Congress. And now, another interesting thing is I create a lot of playlists. There's a couple I update every single week. In fact, one of them's called This Week's Highlights. So, obviously, that's updated. I have another one dedicated to 2016 politics, so you can check that out. That's updated about once a week. I have a couple other ones, one called Objective News. You know, so check them out. And I have a documentary one and stuff like that. I have my favorite channels. Also, I have a Google Plus page. You know, that kind of comes with your YouTube page. And I made a couple of comments in the last day. And so, well, I had an episode about this last week. I'm just going to read. I did like one, like little paragraph comments that I read. Sometimes I respond to other people's videos. I mean, you know, so I'm going to share some of those responses that I wrote. And that's one good thing about, you know, you could say there are a lot of trolls on the internet, of course, obviously. There's just trolls in life. But there is a good thing about communicating on the internet. I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. I mean, we could say the internet keeps us from having as many interpersonal relationships, but how many did we have in the first place? But at the same time, you can have more personal relationships, actually, at a deeper level. The good thing about comments is probably less likely, even though some people are going to anyways, get into a suckered in debates. I mean, a lot of people do regurgitate talking points, but at the same time, you actually have to think and edit and type, and you know, and sometimes you might not see someone else's comment till a day later, so that gives you a whole day to think it through and get a night's rest and wake up maybe or in a whole different mood, and then you can respond back. I mean, that's what I love about message boards and comments and video responses. You actually have some time to put some thought into it. I mean, not everything has to be an instant back and forth, because sometimes our best thoughts aren't back and forth. Sometimes we do get caught up in saving face. Sometimes, you know, your mind just needs to reboot before you can see things clearly. And sometimes the first answer isn't always the best. Not always. I mean, there's some things, like, again, your subconscious should be trained by principles. I'm going to give you some examples here. Like I wrote here, and this is a short one here. You know, the Black Lives Matter, some of the worst things I see are in the people's comments. I mean, some people think when people say Black Lives Matter that it means Black Lives Matter more. That is far from true. It actually means Black Lives Matter too. And that's all it means. And you can even visit blacklivesmatter.com, 11 major misconceptions about the Black Lives Matter movement. They even state that. So, I mean, But I had a whole episode on that last week. Let me go ahead and I left some other comments on some people's. I left that comment on a video. And anyways, it was one about Jennifer Lopez, and she said all lives matter, and you know, and then some people were saying, just being trolls in the comments. Anyways, there's a video that someone had where, let's see what this video was about. Okay. Yeah, remember that guy a while back that raised the drug prices for that, like, AIDS therapy drug, whatever his name is, Martin Shkreli. Let's give him a little bit of props here because at first I thought he was absolutely a sinister, you know, non-empathetic person. I mean, this was supposedly, this is how it was presented in the news. He was, whatchamacallit, he bought a drug, and his company bought a drug, and then they raised the price like 5,000%. And this drug is needed for some really rare diseases, and a lot of people were concerned that the people who really need this drug aren't going to be able to get it, and then they started saying that, you know, he's going to cause deaths, and this is exactly the problem that's wrong with pharmaceutical companies and stuff like that. So, and when he was interviewed, it didn't help. He kind of did have kind of a smirkish attitude, it seemed like, but, you know, people can be quick to judge. I mean, maybe he wasn't used to the media. He is a younger person that hasn't had a lot of media time. And, you know, since then I've learned that that drug is not even patented. I mean, it hasn't been patented for like 50 years. So if anyone else wanted to make a generic version of it, they simply could. But no one else is doing that. So that's the biggest thing. I mean, a lot of people are under the impression only his company is able to make this drug. I mean, he bought the drug for $55 million, and, you know, their plan is at least to make some profits back within 10 years. And most of the, and 60% of the drugs that's manufactured, he gives away for free, or it's paid for fully by Medicare. And the ones that don't, you know, it seems like he's going over and above and beyond to get this drug to anyone who needs it. He's given it out for free. So, and so I'm not trying to defend him, but I'm just trying to give an objective view here because there is another side to the story. And he actually wants to use a lot of that money for research. So it's somewhat kind of considering himself a Robin Hood by stealing from the insurance companies to invest into new drugs. You can read more about it on like YouTube or something. His name is Martin Shkreli, and anyways, or you could check out my Google Plus page. Now, here's another video I responded to recently, and this was a theme I see very recent, frequently. It's someone called Computing Forever. How long can we keep lying? Is the title of his thing, but and it was about basically saying, you know, Western civilization versus the Middle East, and you know, it doesn't really say anything per se in terms of what the solutions are. I mean, but it does kind of infer that it would be to, you know, that Muslims basically are, you know, less smart and don't deserve to be in Western civilization and blah, blah, blah. I mean, just basically, now, you know, let me respond to that a little bit. Now, here's what I responded to. Here's my response here. I personally don't believe in mass immigration. I mean, you can't have a whole mass coming to your country and stuff like that. That's, you know, not healthy. However, we do need to get out of the Middle East and let the market determine oil prices. and invest in new energies. Because if we actually let the marketplace determine oil prices, maybe we won't be so dependent on oil. And I'm kind of adding to my comment there. But you know the only reason we're in the Middle East is because of oil. We need oil. Think about if we didn't have oil, how quick would this economy stop? I mean, think about cars. We need cars. We need buses. We need planes. We need oil for everything. Oil isn't just for our cars. It makes literally plastic. So how many items in your home have a little bit of plastic in it? We need oil. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's why we're in the Middle East. And then I continued here. I mean, think about it. If there wasn't any oil in the Middle East and no natural resources at all, would we be there? Would we have been there for the last century? Ever since World War II, when we started using a lot of oil, the West has been toppling governments. For example, the Shah of Iran, which was a democratically elected secular government, and we used our CIA to topple them and turn them into an Islamic state. They were actually a democratic, secular government. Iraq, Syria, Libya, and more. And there's a lot of South American countries as well. And we're playing war games and subsidizing big business, big oil. There wasn't any terrorism from the Middle East until after we started doing that. Think about it. I mean, you didn't hear about terrorism from the Middle East 50 years ago, I mean, or hundreds of years ago or beyond. It's only since we've been taking the oil. We have toppled many, many secular and democratically elected governments around the world. And until we take responsibility for that, the hornet's nest, per se, is going to be agitated, poor, revengeful, desperate, traumatized, and extreme. And there's just no doubt about that. So, all right. No one gave it a thumbs down. Look, some of the comments are just, people trying to, that's the problem with, you don't want to punish someone by what group they belong to, and you don't want to praise someone by what group they belong to. Everyone should be an individual and take responsibility on their own. So no one should be criminalized by what group they belong to, if they even belong to a group, and no one should be patted on the back by what, unless if they were directly responsible for it. You shouldn't try to take blame or credit for anyone else except yourself. And so a lot of people, they try to blame others, or they feel blame for something others have done. When you do that, you're also going to leave yourself open to taking pride for what others have done. And, you're not, Western civilization, yes, did create the likes of Isaac Newton and Plato and lots of things, but that's not you, and you can't put yourself in the same boat as Isaac Newton. I'm so sorry, and it's wrong for you to do that. So I'm not going to take anyone's compliments. I'm not going to take anyone's, BS attacks. I will take constructive criticism, and I will take logical conversation, but I could care less what you think about, unless if there's some kind of logical criticism there, but I don't care what your feelings are unless if they're, or whatever, I'm not, and neither should you is my point. I'm not trying to get personal here, but, some things to think about today. And, there's a reason why we don't want to only profile Muslims in airports. There's, even though maybe they percentage-wise now are the most likely, there's a reason why we don't want to just profile black people, pulling them over on the street. you know, we do want to have good law enforcement. We do want to be reasonable. But there's a limit. Because you know why? It's the same reason why we require Congress to pay taxes the same way we do. Because if they don't have the same rules applied to them, they're going to forget what it's like to live under that kind of rule. And once they do, they're going to take it for granted, be in their own bubble, and we're going to unnecessarily subject people to suffering. And what is good for the goose is good for the gander, and that's eventually going to come full circle around to you, my friend. You know, America was built on the ideas, you know, you know, in the American Revolution, John Adams, the second president, defended a British soldier because they wanted them to have a fair day in courts, because that's the principles that we live by. You know, maybe you think the world's too big to treat everyone like an individual. Well, I mean, if we're able to do it in the past, we have much more technology, even though we have more people, but we also have more capability now to help us treat everyone as an individual. And that is going to create the environment to create Isaac Newtons and stuff like that. So, and create less terrorism. And actually, I just said getting out of the Middle East would actually completely stop it. So if you really care about getting rid of terrorism, get the freak out of the Middle East, biatch. Anyways, this has been the show. We got 1 minute left. I pray for the peace in the Middle East. Pray for peace in Jerusalem and the Middle East, the whole world, the whole universe. I mean, pray for everyone the same individually, for wisdom, for, you know, to people to soften their hearts. And so take a step back to have understanding, and so thanks for listening today. That's been another episode of the Philosophy Show, and I'm not going to say do what thou wilt. No, that is not the rule of the law, because that's complete chaos and stupidity. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you is the real deal there. That is sustainable and will last forever and is the most efficient. But the Aleister Crowley, do as thou wilt, I mean, there's got to be more to that. If it's just do as thou wilt, that is the same as might makes right. And, you know, I see some stupid young people that haven't thought about it think that's great. Yeah, do as thou wilt, as long as you're not hurting anyone else. I mean, and what's even better and above and beyond is, you know, the golden rule. Anyways, I hope that's common sense. So, peace and prosperity, everyone.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.